Let's talk some sense with Mike Cuño.
Please.
Guy has he's got a way of, you know, taking a macro instead of a micro look. All right. And by the way, there's a Canes game Friday. Get your Canes gear at Caneswear. Caneswear.com is the website, or go to Caneswear and Davey on University Drive. Make sure you look good Friday night. You're going out to the Rock. Mike Cuño, he hosts Dolphins Weekly Live on CBS4 and the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on CBS4. And he was tasked with processing that game yesterday, moments after it ended. I watched him and John Kinjemi. They did their best to kind of, you know, put it all into words, but they were like, we've at least had a night to sleep on it and a morning to read articles and go through tweets and whatever, but they were tasked with doing it right there in the moment. Cuño's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Where are you with what we've seen from the Dolphins through three games, I guess, Mike, but specifically what we all watched yesterday in Seattle?
So my concern with what happened yesterday in Seattle was looking at the rest of the NFL, because I look at the rest of the NFL and watch them get it done with backup quarterbacks. Outside the Dolphins, backup quarterbacks were 3-0 yesterday in their games, whether it was Andy Dalton, Malik Willis. I mean, even if you wanted to go even further down the line with Minnesota and Sam Darnold, because obviously we didn't know if the J.J. McCarthy thing would have shaken out in McCarthy's favor and he would have been the starting quarterback. But backup quarterbacks are winning in this league.
Justin Fields technically is the backup, I think, in Pittsburgh.
Right, Justin Fields. I think that's technically the third. So for me, it was like with the extra couple days to prepare and to offensively look kind of out of sorts. And it's not just the play calling. It's the pre-snap penalties. It's not being able to get plays off. There was a sequence there where it was four straight pre-snap penalties. I think they had to punt the ball like two or three times in a row just to officially get the play off. So to me, my concern is it's the preparedness for that moment. It took me back to a game against the Patriots years ago. I believe it was under Brian Flores, where Mike Gesicki is literally yelling at people on the line of scrimmage, trying to get people in the right place because people didn't know where they were going. They didn't know how to line up. And it just felt like a big step back to me, back to that moment where there was a lot of confusion and it didn't look like people were ready to play.
And Mike, can panic last for 12 days? Because when Tua went out against the Bills, you saw like they really weren't ready not to run a Tua offense. And then my thing was, hey, they're going to come out, they're going to run the ball a lot, they're not going to put too much on Skyler. Hell, we had to see them, whatever his name was. But like
Tim Boyle?
Yeah, Boyle. Tim Boyle. My son loves saying Tim Boyle. He thought that was hilarious, saying Tim Boyle 100 times in a row. Well, Mike, like they did not look prepared to not have Tua in the game. Tua talked about the quick release. Skyler thought he had 8 seconds every time he had the ball. Nobody was going to sack him. He was playing 7-on-7. Were they really ill-prepared? Because, bro, I'm not going to lie, Mike, I was more upset yesterday watching that game than I have been in a long time watching that offense.
Yeah, there was a moment, like I think it was the first drive where Skyler drops back and hits, I think it was Jalen Waddle. It was a real quick outlet pass, and I was like, okay. So, you know, that kind of looked like Tua in there, where you snap the ball's out within a second, and you pick up a good chunk of yards, and you keep this thing moving. So there was a brief second, and even then running the ball with Jalen Wright or Devon Achane, that first series I thought, okay, this, you know, they might be okay here. But the little things, the end of the, a lot of people are going to look at that last play of that first half and say, whoa, what was going on? To me, the concerning one was the play before where there was a penalty, so they had an untimed down. There's 8 seconds left on the clock, and Seattle essentially baits the Dolphins into wasting all 8 seconds. They just drop back and, you know, sit back in a prevent defense, and Skyler sits back there and the ball, the clock essentially runs out on them. So there weren't an opportunity to get any points, whether it was a field goal or one more shot at the end zone. So there was awareness, stuff like that, that really concerned me when it came to that game.
Here's something interesting, and I don't know how you broach this if you're Chris Greer or Mike McDaniel. I'm watching Adam Schefter on Pat McAfee this morning, and Schefter says, hey, these Dolphins, like, they're all in this season. They gave big money to Tyreek and Tua and Jalen Waddle and Jalen Ramsey, and they extended Mike McDaniel. Like, they're all in, and their quarterback doesn't cut it. So they need to go out. And Schefter said, he goes, I'm not telling you any inside info. I'm just spitballing here myself. Ask about Russell Wilson. Ask about Zach Wilson. Went through a couple others. But here's the problem with that, Mike. If they now have to go searching for a quarterback, doesn't that mean Chris Greer is acknowledging that they were ill-prepared going into the season? That they had plenty of time to determine if it was Skyler or Mike White or neither of them? We all kind of thought that both of them stunk during the preseason games, and I saw from a lot of reporters that they weren't very good during a training camp. So Chris Greer would have to acknowledge that they were just completely ill-prepared or totally wrong. But the truth is, they kind of do need to go out and find a quarterback, don't they?
Yeah, because the alternative is standing pat and you know, it looking like, because here's the thing, if Tua doesn't come back this season, or it's more than the four games, then unless Tim Boyle's giving you something that looks really good, or Tyler Huntley, you know, can come out and do something that impresses you. My question is, does that become a quarterback battle there between those two moving forward if Skyler is out? But yeah, I don't know. To me, my whole thing earlier before the season started, the argument against going and getting a quarterback was it was so late in the process and you had a couple guys who had been in the system. Now I think if you do go out and get someone, and I think you should, just to be on the safe side, you better find someone that knows the system. Because obviously yesterday, even for guys who've been in it for a number of years, it's not easy.
I don't know if Mike McDaniel knows the system.
Well, I don't know. At times it felt like maybe he was trying to show that I can get it done with Skyler, right? Like running the normal offense. But it wasn't even...
Spoiler alert, he cannot.
There was so much wrong with it. There was the deep ball to Tanner Connor. Everyone's asking what happened there. But if you look at that play, Jalen Waddle's running downfield too, and those two nearly collide. So it was as if two people there were running the wrong route and almost collided on that play. So there was
preparation,
like I said, preparation. There was, it seemed like there was a lot missing from yesterday's game plan.
And Mike, has McDaniel overlooked the run game? Because I can even go back to that tree. So Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, because this pissed me off yesterday. They went out there. Malik Willis threw the ball 13 times, and they won the game just running the ball. Kyle Shanahan, who started all this back in Atlanta, can run the ball downhill. Raheem Morris with Bijan Robinson, they stayed right there with the Chiefs running the ball. Have we overlooked the run game and tried to get two as – Hawk loves to say, I think we're a little too cutesy where we can't just load up and whoop nobody's ass. And that's what the other teams are doing and beating better teams, just running downhill.
Well, I think that was the frustrating part, is because when they were running the ball, it seemed like things were actually working. Like they were able to get chunk plays. And it was a criticism earlier in Mike McDaniel's tenure with the Dolphins, getting away from the run play. And obviously that has to do with the fact that you do have some of these weapons and you'd like to get it in their hands. But unfortunately, I think even with Tua, this team was kind of trending into not being that quick strike offense anymore. They needed to learn how to sustain these long drives. And I just wish yesterday they made a commitment to it. Cause again, on those first couple series early on, you're seeing these run plays and you're like, okay, maybe they have something here. Just stick with it. I mean, even in the second half, when you're down two scores but have a chance to, you know, make this a ball game, I would have liked to seen them run the ball more. Now, again, part of the problem was they couldn't get off the line of scrimmage because of the penalties. So now they're in these first and long, second and long situations where their hands kind of forced and they have to throw it.
Mike, where do you go from here if you're the Dolphins, if you're Chris Greer, if you're Mike McDaniel, assuming, you know, this quarterback situation doesn't get much better? But where do you go from here? How do you find your identity without Tua Tagovailoa? What should be their plan? Is it just kind of hope that this works itself out?
No, I think you. I think the hope is Raheem Mostert can come back, and then they can really establish who they want to be in the run game, and they're gonna have to. It's got to be a run first, to me, a run first mentality until they figure out what's going on with the quarterback situation. They can go out and get whoever they want, but like I said, if you've got Tanner Connor and Jaylen Waddle running downfield, colliding into each other on a deep route, what does it matter who's back there if the guys aren't even running the correct plays and right routes and can't even get off the ball? To me, that's where it starts with. You got to show accountability in that area before you can think someone's going to come in here and change it, because Skylar Thompson wasn't running that route. You know, like there's fair criticism to go around the entire team here on yesterday's loss. I think maybe they just got to simplify and get back to just running the ball where they can.
And Mike, the offense had everybody going. I honestly was more upset by that game than a long time of watching Dolphins. But defensively, I think, especially early in the second half, like I think they figured it out. Anthony Weaver started blitzing and stopped sitting in that damn zone and letting Geno Smith hit you for 8 or 9. Did the defense play well? If you want to take something, you know, something okay out of that game, I know the score didn't show it, but did the defense play well in your mind?
Yeah, look, if anyone wants one play back yesterday, it's Javon Holland, you know, kind of getting flat-footed on the deep pass to DK Metcalf. But looking at the entirety of the season, that defense in the second half of games has allowed 7 total points. 1 touchdown, 0 field goals. That defense, they may give up some points early, but they are, as the game goes on, they are giving you chances to win, despite whatever's happening offensively. Even in the Bills game, the touchdown they gave up in the second half was a pick six, and most of the points that came from the Bills in that game were either off turnovers or turnover on down. So you're talking about them being pushed back into the opponent's, you know, plus territory there. That's tough for any defense to do. But the fact that they've been this resilient and can pitch these shutouts or, you know, really close to shutouts in the second half, that's the positive you take from this team. And if your team identity is going to change to being a defensive team, that's fine. But I look at that side of the ball as a big positive right now.
Man, it's frustrating that you're 3 games into the season and mm-hmm. you're trying to figure out, do we need to change the identity of the team when you're all in on what the identity was supposed to be? This is the maddening part of it to me, which is they really need help at quarterback, but they will be showing you their hand if they tell you the same thing, because they were adamant that the offensive line was okay, that Skylar Thompson was the right guy to be the backup. Like, they had myriad opportunities to address some of these glaring problems now. And if they all of a sudden have to start trying to tinker and fix with all this stuff after game 3, they're telling you that they were ill-prepared or completely misjudged the personnel.
Yeah, but again, that's why I say they have to figure out the quarterback position and whether or not they've made mistakes here. But yesterday was so much broader than just that. I'm not trying to pivot away from the quarterback, but there were so many.
It sounds like you are.
No, but
oh, we're not going to let you.
You said when I first came on here.
There's one person on this show who can pivot, and that's Crowder. That's because he's got Ryan Clark and Fred Taylor with him. You're legally, rolling with Bo Camper and Goldie.
But you said it when I came on that let's look at the macro. There was a lot going on in that game, and it wasn't just the quarterback. I'm not saying the quarterback thing wasn't an issue, but there was a lot of issues. There was a lot of reasons to point the finger in yesterday's game.
Okay, but Mike, even more to Hawk's point, I mean, who's that on? I know what you're saying. The team looked ill-prepared.
No, being prepared is on the coach. There's no question about it.
But macro, I'm talking about macro. I mean, the guys that they picked to come in here and do something that every other team is capable of doing, win without your starting quarterback, at least look competent without your starting quarterback. I mean, you know, it's pretty obvious who that's on. It's the coach.
You're
and the
saying
GM.
It's on Greer.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing. I'm agreeing. No one helped anyone yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? That's we're in agreement on that. I'm just saying there was a lot of blame to go around for that loss.
I thought it was glaring yesterday how much Tua means to the team. And I know maybe that sounds silly because most starting quarterbacks mean something to their team a lot more than other positions. But, like, he is the team. They didn't look like an NFL team out there. And the person they were missing was Tua and Teron Armstead. Anytime Teron Armstead goes out, the quarterback's about to go out.
There's a bunch of times I could think about this. When Brady tore his ACL, Matt Castle went 11-5. When Patrick Mahomes got hurt, Chad Henne won a playoff game. When Malik Willis right now in Green Bay, he's been there. He doesn't even have a house. He's living at a hotel, and he's won two football games as a starting quarterback. You have to adjust when your starting quarterback goes out, and they did not adjust at all to having Skylar Thompson, and they had 10 days. That's what upset me. It looked like, oh, we'll just throw another guy here and run this offense. You can't do that in this league.
Yeah, no, I agree. You got to put them in. And it was something we talked about a lot in our pregame show is how does Mike McDaniel put Skylar Thompson in a position to be successful tomorrow, you know, today for the game. And we just didn't see that. And that's what's concerning if you're a Dolphins fan. And yes, there was no more glaring reason to have given Tua $250 million in what we saw yesterday, because those mistakes typically don't happen when Tua's in there.
Mike, I'm sorry I lost my temper with you. I feel terrible.
I don't understand, because we were agreeing on everything. So that's where I know
I just lashed out. I lashed out at anyone who was talking, and it didn't. You just happened to catch the brunt of it. I apologize. It won't happen again.
You're only 4 days away from a Hurricanes game, so, you know, just look at the bright side.
Yeah, you guys got to win. You guys got to win. You're Florida State Seminoles.
Mike, he got on his LL Bean quarter zip. Just take
I'm
it easy
feeling
today.
Good, man. Don't mess with me today.
And that hurt my heart a little bit, because the Cal quarterback went to my high school, Christopher Columbus. So I'm a little, you know, that wasn't a good spot.
Did you see the Miami Cal game will start at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time?
I will be asleep by 11. So just give me the spark note.
Yeah. All right, Mike Cunha, watch him on CBS4. We love you, Mike.
It doesn't feel like it today.
You guys have Monday Night Football?
We do.
The Dolphins game against Tennessee?
Pre-game, we have the game and the show, or and the post-game show. So, yes, you can see it all on CBS Miami.
Very cool. All right, there you go. Yeah. Next Monday. All right, see you, Cunha.
See you, guys.
All right, Mike Cunha from CBS4.